Welcome to the Guiding Parent Podcast, where you'll find the mindset and tools to parent with greater confidence, clarity, and purpose, even when there aren't any easy answers. Together, we're going to explore how to better nurture and guide our children to support who they are and who they're becoming so that they can fulfill their unique potential and thrive in our ever-changing world. I'm Tammy Ulrich, your host, parenting and early childhood educator, mom, and most fun, Gammy.
And I'm Shannon, your co-host. I'm Tammy's daughter and mom to a very energetic little dude called H. We're glad you're here. Let's get started.
Hey, Shannon, how was your vacation?
It was great. We just got back from a little trip over to Kauai. My husband's family puts on a boogie board competition, and so we got to go over and see all the family and hang out with cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents, and it was lovely.
Oh, what fun. Vacations are so fun, so many good memories, but, you know, there's also can be some chaos and challenges with a lot less structure and predictability. And, you know, there's those moments of excitement followed by being, Mom, I'm bored. So we're going to see challenging behaviors. It's just to be expected. Might see some in ourselves as well as our kids. It's just everything's mixed up and we don't tend to be at our best. So we thought we'd talk about vacations since Shannon was just on one. So, Shannon, before you left, you were telling me about making Spam Musubi. So, what all did you do before you left to get ready to go?
So, you're right. I did make a bunch
of food. You might want to tell our viewers what Spam Musubi is.
So, Spam Musubi is a Hawaiian we'll call it a delicacy, but it's just a little brick of rice with a piece of pan-fried spam on top wrapped in nori, which is seaweed. It does not necessarily sound appetizing if you are not familiar with Hawaiian food, but it's delicious. And so I made a ton of them because they're a really easy thing to just throw in your beach bag. Or, you know, I ended up feeding them to six kids who at one point were all at the pool with me. And, Andy, we're hungry. And I was like, oh, I got musubi. So I ran back up to our condo and we had musubi. But yeah, in addition to, you know, food prep and stuff like that, we wanted to make sure that, you know, my son had a good idea of what our schedule was going into, you know, this long weekend that we took, making sure that, you know, we have his, you know, the stuff he wants to do balanced with the stuff my husband and I want to do, and, you know, kind of pre-planning our schedule, when we're going to spend time with certain people, all of that, just so that we all have, you know, kind of an idea of how everything is going to run.
Yeah, that's so important to kind of give them a preview of coming attractions, things to be aware of and know. And it's really nice when kids get a chance to have some choice in some of the things that they want to do so that everybody has something that they can look forward to. And so maybe even, you know, depending upon the age of the children, letting everybody pick something and help plan the itinerary.
Yeah. And in addition to that, you know, we made sure that we had boogie boards and skateboards, and, you know, all of our stuff for our different activities. You know, my son had his tablet for the plane, made sure that was fully charged. I know, you know, when he was younger, we merely made a point to make sure that we had, you know, his favorite toys that, you know, were able to travel with, little play sets and stuff like that to take on the plane, or if we were going to be stuck in the car for a long time. It just made it so much easier when we really had, you know, some of his favorite things.
Absolutely.
Kind of purse them out as we go.
Yeah. Well, it's especially good if, you know, it's special things that maybe they haven't seen before. It can be a special little, oh, we're really bored all of a sudden, and oh, look at this, we've got this little thing to do, and kind of give something special when in some of those downtimes. And thinking about downtimes, I know, you know, we need to make sure that we're keeping routines and such as close to normal as possible, and that we do, especially for little ones. You know, it's really easy when we're traveling for some of those routines to just go out the window. But things like naps and making sure we still have predictable meals and bedtime routines can, you know, really, really make a difference. And kind of have, if those do get off schedule, kind of have a plan for how we're going to get things back on board again.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know, like, for us setting up our trip, we made sure that not only, you know, were we going to watch this boogie board competition, which is something my husband and I really like, and my son will go along with as long as he's watching his actual cousins compete, but it's not something he wants to spend 3 full days doing. And so, you know, we kind of balanced that with making sure that he had pool time, had time to get shaved ice, which is another one of his favorite things, you know, and a lot of time to just run around with his cousins and play in the water, you know, on his own own timeline as well.
Right. I remember when we went to Hawaii one of the first times when you guys were young, and we definitely had some conflicting ideas of what should be done on this trip. I was all about the ocean. I love the ocean. And so that's what I wanted to do. It's like, we're in Hawaii. Of course, we're going to the beach, right? Well, you kids, all you wanted to do was play at the pool. So we had to find ways to balance that out so that you got your pool time and I got some ocean beach time as well.
Yeah, I know another thing that we try and balance when my family's traveling is kind of the like need for activities and being busy the whole time, and then also needing downtime and, you know, being able to take a break. We kind of made a point this last trip of coming back to our little condo pretty much every day, I think, to have lunch and just give ourselves 45 minutes to an hour of just, you know, everybody gets to just, you know, A, be in air conditioning, and then also, you know, have a little bit of time where we're not with other people and we can kind of re-regulate. And that's not necessarily my son's favorite part of the day, but, you know, it was really important for my husband and I, and that made us, you know, it's one of those things like take care of yourself first examples of, you know, needing to make sure that we're well regulated so that then we can absolutely, you know, enjoy our time with family, but also, you know, be there for our son and give him our full selves when needed.
Right. Yeah. It's really important to just kind of figure out what each individual's needs are so that those get met amidst all the fun and crazy as well. Yeah. It also makes me think a lot about prepare with purpose, because this is all about, you know, preparing for a change in routine, but it's also, you know, taking that time to anticipate, prepare ahead so that we can save a lot of time and sanity. You know, it might take more time, you spending all that time making spam musubi and some of your other things, but in the long run, it saves so much time because you've got the things you need right there and you've planned ahead, and so you're not as surprised, and also saves a lot of our sanity. So, you know, we want to be able to plan and prepare our kids' environments and routines so that they have optimum development. But we also really want to make sure we're planning for those everyday changes and outings and such.
Absolutely. I know, you know, it can really vary depending on where kids are, different developmental stages. You know, how long is their attention span, you know, what are their interests at that particular age? I know I tried to take H at one point to the National Portrait Gallery in DC, and I had just, you know, such a agenda, I guess, of this being, you know, educational experience. And, you know, to me, this museum is amazing. It has this, you know, beautiful painting of the Four Justices. There's tons of other like important historical paintings there. And so, you know, we get there and he could care less about the paintings, but he did discover that there were many a naked statue. And if you went to the backside of said naked statues, you saw booty. And so he just flitted around that museum, giggling his little self to death, looking at bums. And so it was not necessarily the, you know, cultural experience that I anticipated. But
well, I'm sure that naked bums on statues is way more interesting than, you know, Four Justices paintings. It may not be as cultural, but for a little guy. Yeah, it's really important that we consider where they are developmentally, and that also helps us to maintain our expectations, because, you know, thinking about their age and what their interests are, and, you know, how are they going to feel about these activities, and are they going to enjoy them? And that doesn't mean we shouldn't do them. We should still be introducing them to, you know, to cultural things and different experiences. But we just also need to maintain kind of an idea of who they are and their development, so that our expectations are in alignment. We can help make things go a little smoother when they aren't as interested as we might want them to be.
Yeah, I know. In addition to that, just kind of considering developmental schedules and, is this a time where, you want to skip your 3-year-old's nap because there's so much exciting stuff going on, and practical, standpoint, is that going to then wreck the entire rest of your day if you skip said nap? And it can be really easy to think like, oh, we're on vacation, we're, can be kind of loosey-goosey with, what would normally be our routine. And it can definitely come back to bite you when it's things like nap time or meal times that, really are the big things for our littlest people.
I remember when we were helping you move, and we were all out of our normal routine, and we'd been running around getting things and running errands, and none of us had eaten right the entire day, and we started noticing how surly H was getting. And we all know in the family that when he doesn't get when he hasn't eaten regularly, he gets very hangry. But he was definitely getting very surly, and we just we hadn't taken the time to make sure. But we went and had a nice dinner, and it was like total change. We were all back to back to ourselves again. So we're just having that awareness that, oh, that's what's going on, can really help.
Well, yeah, and I think it makes such a huge difference when you take the time to pay attention to these kinds of things about your kid. Like you said, he's very predictable in that if he's behaving a certain way, 99 times out of 100, he needs food. And so, for some kids, it may be they need quiet time or they need, something different, more stimulation. But yeah, being able to, kind of gauge like for your own child, like, oh, we're having, we're inching towards a meltdown. What can we do to intervene before it becomes a full-blown situation?
Right. I think too, we need to really be aware of having realistic expectations about when we're planning special events, but our vacations, but anything special, birthdays and so forth. We want to make our vacations be this be all end all, have all these lovely, wonderful memories. But really, any of our trips are not going to be what we see on Instagram as Instagram perfect. I saw a little reel the other day of just showing just that. It had a little guy on a boogie board floating around in the ocean with his dad, and it looked all nice and lovely. But then they put in the sound, and it was like, no, you can't go back to the room and watch TV. We're doing this. So we just made it very clear that what you see on Instagram might not exactly be what's happening, what's truly, truly happening. So we really need to be aware that we don't need to make it perfect. We just need to create a nice experience and have some things, things in line. We don't need to give our kids the perfect trip, and at our own expense either. We need to still do the things we want to do, make sure we're doing things that they want to do, but really, consider the whole family and kind of figure out what can we do together that creates connection, but still has that sense that we're taking care of each other. We're making sure everybody gets to do something that they want to do. But also, having some of that benefit of learning from being having to wait your turn or being a little bit bored from time to time.
Well, yeah, I know nobody ever goes on vacation just thinking like, oh, we're gonna like chalk up a bunch of life lessons on our, trip to Hawaii. It's not the point, but you can kind of, I think, have it in the back of your mind that, there are advantages, like you said, to boredom. There's advantages to a kid not getting to do exactly what they want to do 24 hours of the day. You learn how to exist in a family unit, in a community where, there are other people's needs that you need to consider. And so, yeah, if you have a kid melting down because we're doing what brother wants to do right now rather than what you want to do, you can just kind of remember like, oh yes, we are teaching life skills here, even if it is
Yes.
not at a convenient moment.
Exactly. Right. And those life skills don't tend to happen at convenient moments. But that's a really important point to remember is that, when those times come, to remember it's a process. Kids aren't going to learn how to care for everybody else and put their needs aside while somebody else has their turn. That takes time and development before we get there. So, when our kids are melting down because they're not getting to do what we want, it's not because they're spoiled, it's because they're still developing and they still have those moments where their emotions get big and where, they may be, as we've already talked about, hungry or tired, our routines are off. And so, giving them, having a little empathy there of what's going on for them, and that this is just part of development, is that sometimes things are, I think sometimes it's hard for little people.
I love the whole idea of, you know, nothing being a perfect vacation, that, you know, that there's what you expect going into it and then what a kid actually, you know, takes out of it. You were talking about social media stories, and there was one I saw recently that I thought was absolutely hilarious. And, you know, this family had gone on, I think, a European trip, you know, lots of culture, lots of different experiences, all the things. And, you know, when they got back, they were asking their kids, you know, what was the best part of your trip? And one of the little people just pipes up and was like, "Oh, I remember when Dad farted at the airport." And like this, you know, weeks long adventure, and the fart at the airport was like the major takeaway. I think that's just such a great example of, you know, you can curate the perfect family vacation. And even if nothing goes wrong, like what your kid takes away from it is going to be different than what you anticipate. And so I just thought that was such a great, you know, it's hilarious, but it's also, you know, a good little lesson of reminding ourselves that, you know, yeah, all the planning in the world, and it can still not be, you know, the takeaways that you intended. Right.
Which makes me think about our European vacation and how we had, you know, it was going to be this great educational experience for everybody. But we were in Italy and went to a really nice restaurant and ordered, you know, nice Italian food, real Italian food, because we're in Italy. And your sister ordered fish and was quite traumatized when the waiter brought her a fish, a full fish, head, scales, skin, the whole bit. Oh, she was so upset. I had to hide and pull some meat out of it for her. And she wouldn't eat anything but pizza the rest of the trip. She was so traumatized. But it's just, I'm sure that's what, you know, one of her main memories from that vacation, instead of all of the, you know, museums and monuments and, you know, cultural experiences that we
had. It was
had.
The fish. Yeah.
It's the fish with the head on it. So as we come to the end, we have three tips to leave with you. So the first one is, remember to prepare. We make things so much smoother when we take the time to anticipate what the wants and needs of everybody in the family might be. And also to make sure that kids know what to expect and that they have some things that they're going to enjoy doing, and that can find kind of fill in those gaps when we have a downtime or when we're in the midst of an airplane ride or a car trip. Then second, create an itinerary that works for everybody. You know, depending upon the ages of the kids, let everybody choose their number one thing that they want to do and make sure that everybody has at least that one thing that they're looking forward to. And then third, make sure that we keep some realistic expectations. Consider your child's development, and that we're all out of our normal routine. So, you know, to give everybody a little grace if we slide out of our best behavior from time to time.
Absolutely. And so I will end with a little try this. And so my favorite thing when any time in our family things are out of the norm, you know, big moves, big vacations, start of the school year, anything like that, is to do the story of tomorrow. And so at bedtime, lay down with my son and just talk about everything that's going to happen the next day. And, you know, from where we're going to have breakfast to who we're going to see and what activities we're going to do, just anything that I know, you know, is going to happen. And in my experience, that has just added so much ease into, you know, his predictability for his next day, and, you know, gives him just a little bit more control over the situation. And so it really does seem to make a difference in him, you know, being able to pop up the next morning and jump into whatever adventures we're having and knowing more about what's going to happen with his day.
Once you started doing that, it was such a difference in how he handled things. It's one of the greatest things, one of the best things to try. So, yeah. So that's the end of today. So we'll see you next episode. Thanks for joining us today on the Guiding Parent Podcast. Remember, behavior is communication. Connection leads to cooperation. And with understanding and intention, we can parent with greater ease, peace, and joy.
Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And we're here for you. Let us know in the comments what other topics you'd like to hear about.
Click the link in the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter. and visit the Guiding Mindset website for articles and resources to support you on your parenting journey.
Until next time, this is Tammy and Shannon with you on the journey.